All right. So today on the Startup Chat, we are going to talk about what we do for fun.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Right? We want you to do your best.
I actually suggest that what are our hobbies, what do we do that has nothing to do with business or entrepreneurship?
So I have a problem with the word hobby because I say Crazy Egg is my hobby.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's not really a hobby.
Yes.
So if you ask me what I do for fun, I'm not sure if that hobby is what I do for fun or it's just the thing that makes me money.
What I do for fun is I run my company because
yeah, you know what I mean? So okay. Even when people ask me, what do you do for fun? I don't know how to answer. So
that's good.
I don't know. Okay. I work for fun. Like I try to make money, try to make businesses, to give people advice, to learn. So, I learn for fun.
Okay. Very good. So this is a very good one. All right. So
I learn for fun. That's what I got.
Okay.
What do you got?
You learn for fun. All right. So the reason why I wanted to have this episode is number one, because I'm particularly bad about sharing more personal things that have nothing to do with business about myself. And because I'm curious what can we do that's like off topic, right? So let's explore this. I'm also, if you ask me, what do you do except work? I have some answers, but if you phrase it like that, where you say, what do you do for fun?
That's the most common question I get, but that's not a non-business question.
Huh.
What do you do for fun?
What do you do for fun? Okay. So let's explore this.
Yeah.
So you say learning.
Yeah. Learn for fun.
Same here.
Yeah.
So this is definitely one, and I can give you a list of things I'm currently learning, and it's for fucking fun. All right. So one thing that I'm learning right now is I'm going through a course, and I wanted to talk to you about this anyways, which is it's an online course. It's a little bit of a cop-out because I don't have the money and time to go and do it in person, but it's basically…
You don't have any money, Stelly? We can fix that. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm not going to comment on this. So it was a thoughtless comment. So
this is the fun episode. So
yes. Okay.
Continue like this.
Shut up. So I'll get to you in a second. So it's a course about managing high performance.
Oh, cool.
And it was actually…
Your own or other people's?
Your own.
Nice.
And it is not from a business perspective. These guys developed this that we're working with military and athletes. So
cool.
This is something that's more high performance on an athletic level. But eventually they figured out, shit, everybody can use the same principles. So they're now selling this to like executives and they have this online course, which is convenient for me to take.
Yeah.
And… So it's like every morning I'll go watch like 10, 15 minutes. I'll do an exercise and I'm still early in the process. But one thing that's like blowing my mind is their framework around energy, like personal energy. It's so interesting. So they have this framework where they're like, well, basically first they say, forget about time. What you need to focus is on energy management, not time management. That was an interesting one. And then they bring up this example of the dad that always comes home at 6 p.m. And then one night he comes at home at 9 and he calls his wife. He's like, super sorry. And the kids have to go be in bed in 15 minutes. So he shows up and tells his wife, I'm going to talk to you later. I need to go up and like play with the boys. So he goes up, he wrestles with the boys. He reads them a story. He does this, that. And then on the way out, well, he tells them good night. His youngest turns around and goes, daddy, can you start coming home at 9:30 every night? Right? Because the 15 minutes were a totally different energy level than usually when it comes
to… You just had to get it done.
Yes.
You had to get it done and you're excited. And
So they have that. And then the way they think about energy is super interesting in that they break it down and they say there's a physical part to this.
Yeah.
There's an emotional part to this. There's a mental part and a spiritual part. And the interesting framework is that they say… The physical portion of energy is quantity. Like your physique will make out the quantity of energy you have, right? The emotional part will make for the quality of energy you have. The mental part will make for the way you focus your energy, and the spiritual. And spiritual is a little bit that is more like purpose, I would say, than really spirituality in their case.
I call that what gets you going.
That will make for the force or intensity of the energy you have.
Mm.
I love that framework.
That's pretty good.
Quantity, quality, focus, and force, right? When I first saw that, I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Really good.
Never thought about it this way.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still very early on, like they go through these like And this comes from like physical sports and military things where they go through like the way to grow energy is through stress and recovery, right? And really understanding how to create real stress for a specific muscle. It doesn't matter if it's like physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, and how to create a recovery for it in a good enough rhythm. And I'm still early, but it's like, it's super fascinating so far. Just the framework they use for this.
What's it called?
It's High Performance Institute is, I can share the link. Apparently they got bought by Procter and like some Johnson & Johnson, some company. But they used to, I read, do you know the book, what is it called? The Art of Learning, I think. It's by... It's a beautiful book. You'll enjoy it. The guy that wrote it was like a master chess wunderkind, The Art of Learning. So that kid, have you ever seen Searching for Bobby Fischer, that movie?
Yeah.
So it's based on this guy's life. Cool. When he was a kid, he was like this wunderkind chess master.
Yeah.
And then he falls out of love with chess and learns martial arts and becomes a martial arts master. And he wrote this book about his framework of learning, right? And it's a cool book. And he talked on a podcast. I heard him once. And he talked about working with these guys from the High Performance Institute, which made me look into it, made me discover the course.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I'm currently digging into. Learning is a big thing that I do for fun. I just love learning.
Me too.
Right? What else do you do for fun?
What else? Yes. I learn. So what do you mean, what else?
Food. I know food is a big thing. Is not food like a pleasure?
I like cooking food. Yes. I probably do that for fun. I like cooking food for other people. And there's a few things I'll cook. So like my family might make the beans and like the veggies for like a Mexican meal. But I'll make all the food. Mm. So I'll prepare. Sorry. How do you put that? I'll cook it all.
Okay.
Like not the cooking part of the beans or anything necessarily, although I do know how to do that, but they might make all the ingredients, but I'll end up putting it together.
Okay.
Whether it's like a Mexican tortilla pizza or like tacos or a burrito, or it doesn't matter what it is. That's probably the one I do the most.
Do you cook every day?
No.
Do you cook like on weekends?
Probably once a week is roughly when this happens.
Okay. And you do that, that's typically like
sometimes twice,
in the evening or
for... It's usually on the weekend.
Okay.
Sometimes on the weekdays, and it's usually just... We pick Mexican and it's already a standard, like I'm doing all of it.
Okay.
Right? Around the making it. And I enjoy it.
But it's never
a lot.
Just for you, it's like for the family.
Always for other people.
Okay. There's I love that.
Yeah.
That is something I want to rediscover because when I do cook, I really like it, but I haven't cooked in a long time.
What do you like about it? Because people like different things about it, right? And there's a whole spectrum.
I think that what I like about it, I like doing something with focus. Again, that's going to be great for others or great for me. So I'll only cook. I won't take any joy of cooking something that's not great food, right? So I like cooking something that's
tastes good,
really good quality, that takes some time. I like the to really – like when I cook, I'm a typical man where I'm not going to do 100 things on the side. I'll have classical music playing. I want everybody out the fucking kitchen. I'll have a wine glass and I'm enjoying myself right? And I'm also like – super particular where every little step I do, I'm cooking very slowly, but everything I do, I clean up after myself. I'm done with cooking, the kitchen is like, looks just like before.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like dabbling in something that I don't know well because it gives me a new appreciation for food. It makes me consume that food differently.
You learn something.
Yes, because I grew up being a very mindless eater, like being a habitual, I eat when I watch television type.
Yeah.
That's how I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not good at like eating and just focusing on food. But when I cook, I would never just watch a television show and eat.
You're just forced to like focus.
But you know, so when I did it, I enjoyed it for these reasons, but I haven't done it in a long time. It's something that I should start doing maybe on a weekend for my wife and the kids and like maybe friends.
Yeah.
It would be fun. That's definitely something that I want to do. All right. What else do you do for fun? I'll give you one of mine and then you'll give one of yours.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've started doing, I think for fun still qualifies here because I don't do it for any other purpose that it feels great. And something in me wants more of it. So that's kind of fun. It's not fun in the sense of like, ha, 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 I'm laughing fun. But it's fun in the sense that it's pleasurable. And I want it for no other purpose than it feels great. And that's, starting getting into martial arts. right? So for the last 6 months, I've been doing kickboxing, and I've slowly but surely dialed it up. I've never done any sports or martial arts. I've never seen a gym from the inside in my entire life up until 6 months ago, 6-7 months ago. I always got away with it. Dressed, you couldn't tell. Like, so I always would never had any issues with my weight. So I kind of was lazy my entire life. Now, so I started very slowly, and now I do a lot of it. And now I'm getting to the point where I have to be like, dude, you need to slow down. You want too much of this.
That's awesome. Because
I'm doing, twice a week I go into kickboxing class in the evening. Once a week in the morning, I do one-on-one sparring with the trainer before I go to work.
Cool.
And now I started adding Brazilian jiu-jitsu to it before the kickboxing classes.
Yeah.
And I'm like getting ahead of myself where I'm like, Jesus, slow down.
You're gonna hurt yourself.
But it is
like it.
I love it. I love it. I do it for no other purpose than it feels great to do something physical. It feels great to push. It's also interesting. I'm always like, we're very much thinking framework. So whenever I go to class, it's such an interesting mind game of like how I act. In an area, so in kickboxing class, I'll make classical mistakes that I won't do in entrepreneurship anymore, but I will criticize or give feedback on others. And kickboxing
it's
class,
nice to have that still making mistakes.
Yes, I'm a beginner.
Yeah.
It is a humbling. It kind of reconnects you to an area where, oh shit, I kind of get now why people do this. Because in the physical sense, because I'm not highly trained and experienced, I will always stop at a very comfortable point.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so I see the difference if I do a workout myself versus if I work out with a trainer one-on-one.
Yeah. Big difference.
It's
right?
A massive, and like I would stop at like whatever it is, 10 repetitions, and I'll stop at 30. And where at 10, I'd be like, okay, I can't do anymore. Oh. And then with a trainer that's like, one more.
We're going.
Somebody who's pushing me, I do triple the results. I'm like, holy fucking shit. It's so interesting to see that physically I'm not used to pushing myself. And I always stop somewhere around my comfort zone. Yeah. And I go, that's all I can do. I'm really done. And then having somebody that pushes me outside of it makes
like,
me.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Not like I. And the shocking thing is not I go from 10 to 13 repetitions. Yeah. I literally go from 10 to 30.
Rip, you rip through it.
And I'm like, wow, look at how little I'm used to on this and how like my framework is totally different. So it's also that I take joy.
So you learned you can do a lot more than you think you can.
Yes, a ton
probably
more.
Probably in anything.
Every time, like that also makes me go, when I leave training, sometimes I'll go, I wonder if I just think I'm pushing myself on the business side as much as I could.
You're not.
Because I'm not, right?
None of us are.
You never.
None of us are. I don't care who
yes.
you are.
Yeah. But it's just, I love being a beginner at something. I love the physicality of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I enjoy about it. And now I need to stop myself because I'm an obsessive personality to just like go slow down, chill out. You can't go like, you can't do 100 martial arts like 8 hours a day. Like just chill out for a second. But it's interesting. It's definitely something I do that has nothing to do with business. And I truly enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't know if you asked me 3 years ago, it was not on my to-do list, not something I wanted to do. Yeah. I kind of just stumbled into it and I really love it.
I like it.
All right, you're next.
Yeah, I am. I have conversations with people for fun. There's two categories that I am always excited by or like try to seek out. So one is if I'm just in some city or walking around some town, I'll be more chatty than normal.
Mm.
And so I'll walk in a store and just chat people up. The other day I happened to want a coffee at 5. I walked in the place I usually go with one of my friends and he wasn't there. And I went alone and I started talking to the barista because he was making my coffee and he's one of the better ones. And just learned all kinds of things about coffee and like, I kind of already was in tune with his flow. So I already knew the kind of questions to ask him, but his, when he brews it, it's always better. So he taught me about why it's bitter and how the reason actually coffee is bitter, even if it's good coffee, because bad coffee is bitter basically.
Okay.
But the reason you taste it to be bitter, even if it's good coffee and done well, is because there's so many different compounds and flavors that it hits your tongue. Your tongue doesn't know what to do. So, and bitter is what comes out.
Really?
This is what I would learn. Oh. So like the amount of shit I learned that's kind of random, but really, really interesting, especially when I talk to a craftsman.
Mm,
he's a craftsman, right? So I love those conversations more than anything else. One of my friends, Malik, loves talking to craftsmen. I think he's rubbing off on me on that. But like when I talk to them, is amazing because they can tell me things. He's like, yeah, just take some coffee, like an espresso. We're specifically talking about espressos. And actually get leave it in your mouth, get some air in there, and you'll taste all the complexity of it. Mm. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh. I mean, it makes sense. Because that's how a lot of things work. But it's just interesting to hear from him, who basically is one of the best espressos. He makes one of the best espressos at Sightglass in San Francisco. Yeah. I know that's super, like, you know, artisanal and, you know, so a lot of people aren't into it. But, like, if you're building a business and you have a product, regardless of what kind of business it is, service business or product business, you're a craftsman.
Yeah.
You know, women, men, whatever. It's craftsman. That's the name, right? Yeah. And it's so interesting to talk to these people and then realize how much of those types of things you personally know about your own craft that you might not be verbalizing.
Yeah.
Even they don't verbalize it.
Yeah.
Right. But they're practicing their craft. The other kind of conversations I like, I have two other ones, and these are all, for me, it's all about people. So the other one I like to have is if I'm in front of somebody at some dinner party or something and they actually are in a business I don't understand, I want to know all about that business, how they make money, how they do marketing, how they do sales. And I learn a ton from that. And that's just anybody random. Could be a relative, could be just at a dinner party, and it's people that are not in tech. I want to know all about their business and how they run it. Like one of my wife's cousins, he has pharmacies. And it was just interesting hearing what his business is, mostly to old people's homes. And it's just it's basically a delivery service now to that, right? And totally like, you know, non-tech stuff. And it was just fascinating to learn how he figured that out and all that. And then the third one, and this is just a fun one, and I really enjoy this, but it's more of like practice, I would say. Mm-hmm. If someone's having a conversation, I don't know them, they're on the phone, maybe they're not on the phone, they're just talking between two people and I can overhear it, I try to predict what the next word someone's going to say is. So much fun.
That is
it's dope. Like taking the voyeurism and the observing to a next level, which is like, wait, I'm not just going to observe. I'm going to see if I can understand what they're going to say, what they're going to do next, and what they're talking about with just a few words. And it's kind of my opinion of what I'm doing is I'm trying to inform my intuition with that practice, which I just, intuition is just such a fascinating thing to me.
We need to talk about that. I love that. That's dope. So one interesting thing is, yes, when you are a craftsman, somebody that cares about the quality of work they do and care about it deeply, you appreciate others. It doesn't matter in which area they are. Yeah. That's a universal truth.
Yes. Yeah, you're always trying to get better at it. You're trying to think about it. It's the thing you care about the most, yes. Honestly.
So I love those kind of three frameworks of conversations. That's really, really dope. It's interesting. That's something that I am particularly bad at today. So I'm super binary in the way that I'm social, because I'm not as social as people think I am.
Yeah.
In that when I'm at home, like when I'm in Palo Alto and when I'm in this back home,
at your house with your family. You mean.
Not just, no. I mean, just here.
Oh, in like, the area. In the area. It's good to know exactly what you mean.
Yes. I don't want to go to events. I don't want to go to meetups. I don't want to meet anyone.
Yeah.
I say no to all lunch things. And oftentimes, even in the office, I won't go to lunch with the team.
Yeah.
I just want to fucking do my work and be left alone. And then I go home and play with my kids. Yeah. That's it. Like that's all I do. Weekends only with the kids. Like that's it. But then at some point I would go crazy if that's all I did.
That's right.
So I go on these like speaking tours or travel tours where I'm the exact opposite. I'm the most social version of myself. So you're
trying to do it as a switch.
Yes. I'm doing a hard switch.
I didn't realize that.
Hard switch.
It's so interesting.
So when I'm traveling, I'm like from one keynote to the next, workshop, meetings, visit customers, meetups, drinks, party.
It's all the same. It's other just, people.
Just in the middle of people.
Yeah.
Social. And then I go back to like, everybody just fucking leave me alone. I want to just do my fucking work and play with my children.
Interesting.
So super binary that way.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm always kind of like laughing about in my head, or that I'm thinking about, is that whenever I go, when my kind of social day-to-day interactions that are super like superficial, like I go to the barbershop, right? Yeah. Or I go and pick up some food. These people, even like workout, when I go to the kickboxing class, I don't interact with anyone there because I'm not there to chit chat. I'm not here to find friends. Yeah. I go work out as hard as I can and I fuck off again.
Yeah.
There's people that make friends that are social. Not me. And I'm like, these people have a completely different impression on who I am.
That's right.
Then if they saw one of my videos or how other people perceive me, they'd be like, what the fuck?
Who is this guy?
Yeah, this guy has been coming to train for 6 months. I thought he's like the most quiet, most reserved human being ever. Now he's like on this stage screaming.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If some people who see me that way saw me like, oh, how I'm sitting in the barbershop and just like, I don't want to talk. Or like, I don't just, many times I'm just like, I just want to enjoy my
time. Hiding?
Hiding? Like, hiding. What do you mean hiding?
You're just hiding.
Tell me more.
The real you is the one on the videos, I think.
You think,
are you just hiding?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that my interpretation of things is that I do very much love being amongst people, but I also very much enjoy being alone. So I don't need people around me all the time. And I need both.
You know what's funny? How I do this is I drive.
Yes, you told me about that.
It's the place where if I want to be alone, I can be.
Yeah.
There's no other place.
Yeah, see, I don't
in
drive.
In the same way.
I don't drive.
Yeah.
I don't drive. But that's an interesting
I drive.
One. So this is also...
Or I ride my bike. I have a ghetto bike, Walmart, $40 Craigslist.
Yeah.
You know, and ride it around the neighborhood.
So that's another thing you do for fun?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. So you like to drive, right? You like to drive your car.
Love to drive.
Yeah.
Likes not a strong...
You go. You love to drive your car. That's cool. So you
I grew up
that.
In Southern California and cars were like... It's not even like I like fancy cars. I've driven them. I don't care for them.
Right.
I just like my car and I like to drive it. You know? Like, I'm not a car guy in that perspective. I love cars.
What do you do in the car? Like, do you do lots of calls in the car? Do you
I'll do audiobooks. I listen to music. I really like Taylor Swift.
Really?
By the way, I think she's one of the most amazing businesswomen
she's
out there
smart,
right now.
Huh?
Oh, no
she's
idea.
She's really sharp.
Dude, there's just so many layers to that lady.
When we do people, we should do Taylor Swift.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Watch her interviews, everything.
Yes.
She's good. She's, you know what she's best at? She's best at serving her audience. Just
straight up.
Ridiculous. We can all learn from her. Even the interviews, she talks about how she's serving the audience and how she wrote this, she writes that. And you can see it in the evolution of her music, right? And all that. But anyways, I can go off on that. I've been studying that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for the
that's
fun
it.
Episode.
That was our fun episode.
Like, we don't have more fun. Like, you should
that's
see
right.
the relief
yeah.
and hate in space. It's like, finally done with this fun shit. All right. So, I have a question. Maybe we'll end this and maybe that's
you
can
have tips on fun shit.
The tip thing.
Yeah.
But audiobooks, what book do you read or listen that you like now or that you've
There's a book called
recently?
Team on Teams.
Team on Teams?
Yeah. It's very related to what you were saying about what you're doing. It's like the opposite though in the sense of
Team of Teams.
Okay. Team of Teams, is that what it is? Yeah, Team of Teams. Been reading that about halfway through. It really got me thinking about how teams operate and how we can have more high performing teams. So you're thinking about high performing individual in the stuff you're doing. I'm actually thinking about the high performing
teams.
So it's really interesting that we're thinking about the same things.
Nice.
So I've been thinking about this a lot, and they talk about things like Taylorism and efficiency and factory lines and all this interesting stuff, and how the way we have to be now is much different than that. You have to be more flexible, more agile, for lack of a better word, and more just ready to react.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And it's all using a metaphor of armies and terrorism stuff and a lot of great examples.
Cool. All right. So here's my tip on and my book recommendation, although I've read it twice, but it's been a while. It's The Art of Learning from